Ladies and gentlemen, good morning, and pardon me for my oversight. Tim had advised me to call in with the code number, and I called in with the regular number, and I was hearing the jingle play over and over and over again, thinking he was going to come in, but he asked me to open it up because he's accompanying our phenomenal young lady, Boss Tootie, to an event where she's going to be. I think she's going to be telecast once more. She's building up a nice momentum, so pardon me for that oversight. And I hope you guys check in and let me know that. Hello. If this were football, I would call this a fumble. Tim had asked me yesterday to initiate with the code, and I forgot to do that. But when I tuned in just prior to 9 o'clock, I heard the music, so I thought he had set everything up, and I was remiss in calling in. So I don't know how we're on, and as a matter of fact, I don't even know if we're on. So if someone can respond to let me know that I'm being received, I would appreciate it at this time. The claim that the station holds is that we're online right now, that we should be broadcast. So now I'm very confused because I just called in with the code and put the proper numbers in, and they said that our show should be starting. As a matter of fact, it said that they would resume the show because the show was already initiated. So it's very confusing to me, but I'll take my end of responsibility because I think I was supposed to call in initially. So, gosh, what's going on? Let me see. Wow. Oh, boy. T-mo-nini. I think my mind have blown this. So I guess no one is hearing me at this time. But if there's someone that can alert whether or not we're on the air, please check in and yell out so we'll know that we're moving in the right direction. They said they're reconnecting me now, and so it is 9:20. Oh well, it's 9:19 and 9:20. Gosh, why is it? Oh, okay. So listen, Double R, you just called in, you just texted me. So can you announce something so I can know if we're connected, because it's very, very strange to me now what's going on. All right, Double R, I'm going to give you a call to find out what it was you were sharing with me, because I'm very confused right now. Hello. Once again, my apologies for anything that I did that caused this this disruption. However, I just talked to Double R, and he said he can hear me, and I'm hoping and trusting that the rest of our listening audience can hear me as well. If so, I want to thank you for your patience and your tolerance on this matter as well, to greet you with a warm feeling of pleasure and contentment that you guys are still participating in our project here. Tim, I don't know if you came in late. I'm going to share with you that Tim took Boss Tootie. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Boss Tootie. Boss Tootie is the 10-year-old. She started recording when she was 9, and she's been very, very consistent in her recording. So they're going to introduce her newest and latest piece with, hold on. Let me see if I can get some clarity. Sherman is calling me, so let me see if I can get some clarity about what's going on. Okay, so I just went to the master and used the code, and they said that they're reconnecting me now. So, Sherman, do me a favor. If you can hear me now, please give me a call so I'll know that there's at least a connection going one way, if not both ways. Right on. Gotcha. All right. All right, folks. So here it is. I'll rebrief you, and with my apology, my most humble apology for not remembering that I was supposed to initiate the code to get myself lined up to be able to hear and to give exchange in messaging. So Tim had asked me last night to initiate the code, and I forgot to do that. What I did was use the 515, and as everyone else did a little bit before 9, and I heard the jingle music, so I thought it was, I thought it had been initiated, and it didn't dawn on me until I kept hearing the jingle over and over again. Then I recognized, oh, wait a minute, maybe I need to initiate. So I did that, and kept doing those things, and it didn't seem like I was making a connection until I started getting calls from a brotherhood saying that they could hear me, but I'm not able to hear you. So, gosh, hopefully Tim said he should be through in a few minutes. He said that he took Boss Tootie, the young 10-year-old phenomenal performer, rapper with the good, solid messaging. He took her to introduce her. Her new single, I think it's going to be on television. If not on television, I think it's one of the television stations. I'm not, don't quote me exactly, but it's some medium that's going to help her get her new piece played, aired, and well-received. So he took her and her father to that debut and asked me to represent. Which I failed to do adequately, and I apologize for that. But when he comes, I'm guessing he'll be through. He told me he'll be through by 9:30 or so. So maybe he'll dub in and smooth out all the loose ends because he has the master control panel. And I've yet to learn how to do that, and maybe this is the time for me to recognize that I need to sit down with him and be able to do that in his absence, because this is not what we are accustomed to, and that is we always show up and do our part, and sometimes we've had some challenges with the network, and they had the storm. We were offline and had bad signals, and then early on we kept having these little challenges about people not being able to call in or people not being able to hear, or we had a lot of those things, and it seemed like they were out of our control. Very rarely do we have things like this where we have lost control, and I apologize for that. But in the meantime, I'll give a couple of reports. Number one, for those who are not familiar with the bill that passed 8-1 yesterday, we've been pushing for a committee and a group of professionals to put together a analytical package. Meaning, let me stop all that. To put together a committee to start establishing the way to determine eligibility for reparations here in Sacramento, California, the city of Sacramento. So that passed yesterday 8-1, and we bravo to that. What that bill does is it puts in motion what we've all been scratching our heads wondering if it's going, how far it's going to go. Well, if they establish this committee to do this work, then it's pretty likely that we can invest our confidence that it's going to go the distance. Now, they have more bills that they're introducing. And so with that in mind, understand that each bill needs more momentum behind it. So if you didn't get an opportunity to express yourself about what you think about reparations here in Sacramento through the survey, then we're going to introduce some other ways for you to express your want for not only reparations in Sacramento, but your agreeance with the bills that are being put forth and the committee. We need to have an advisory committee that's grassroots. We need to have people who are looking at it from the eye level, making the recommendations and following through with getting the recommendations considered in order to well with our inner city people, right? The rest of the suburbs and all that other city of Sacramento, they may pour in, they may not. But what's most important is for us to have a groundswell from our inner city structure, because we're the ones that's probably going to get this thing pushed to the end. Is once we get in tune and start pushing for all of these bills to be considered and passed. But yes, bravo for the passing of the 1403. You guys can look it up. You know, I just gave you a briefing on what it is, but you can look it up and find out precisely what it recommends or what it represents. Not recommends, but what it represents. Now moving forward toward the reparations piece. So let me see what other announcement. Oh, okay. So here in Sacramento, for the Sacramentoans, there on Saturday, the 13th, there's going to be something called Earth Day, where there's going to be a lot of festivity. There's going to be a lot of activity. It's going to be food. Fun. They're gonna have games. They're gonna have things for young people. It's just the Florin Square Mall is identifying itself as being the hub for our people's events henceforth. And I want you to come in, and I want you to check out the digital cafe. That is a very nice addition. It's new. It's just been opened up a couple of months ago. And it's a very nice venue, and it's very progressive, right? And it's a warm place to be, and you can talk to Stacy, and I forgot the young lady's name, but you can talk to Stacy, Brother Stacy, if you like it and you want to stage something there, or create a plan, an event to perform there, you can talk to him and get it done. Moreover, tonight, Poetic Butterfly, her name is Margarita. Poetic Butterfly is sponsoring a open mic for spoken word. They call it a spoken word artist, and she has a feature artist by the name of Winter. I've heard her before. Very good work, right? And then I think I'm going to be there, and I may perform myself because I have some skills in that area too. So, but anyway, tonight from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock at that digital cafe in the Florin Square Mall, 2251 Florin Road, there will be this event, and I would dare to say it's going to be worth it for you to make your attendance there for two reasons. Number one, you'll get a chance to see the cafe or revisit the cafe. All right, hey.
One, two.
Oh, man. Great, great. Hey, I don't know. Did y'all guys hear my apology?
Yeah.
Because I'll give it to you again, man. All right. Well, I appreciate it, man. I hope you guys are forgiving. And Mark, don't be trying to don't be punching me when you see me, okay?
Let's hear it again.
You like to be. Oh man! Y'all want humility to the utmost. I'll give it to you
all the way, baby, all the way.
Lord have mercy. But hey, I'll do it again. But I want to hear y'all voice now. Y'all come on in, chime on in. Tell me who all is available.
First Lady of Radio. I've been here all morning.
Dad, you sound good. You sound powerful. That's power I hear. Congratulations.
That's it. All right.
Congratulations. You sound vibrant and powerful. I'm pleased to hear that sound. Come on, Mark.
I'm back.
And this is Mark the Disciple. I've heard you over and over and over again repeating yourself. You repeatedly repeated yourself.
So I get a critique now for being humble, huh? Oh, go ahead. who else gonna go jam? Sherman, come on in, Sherman. Oh, Sherman, you're on mute. He the one that called me and told me I was being heard. I appreciate that. Double R.
Double R
in the
car
for real. You in the car?
I'm in the car.
Right on, man. Thanks. Yeah, thanks for calling me and letting me know what was going on, because I've been toiling over this, calling numbers. Like Mark say, not only was I repeating myself, but I was repeating the process. But now I'm glad to have you guys aboard, and I'm thankful to have our faithful contributors and our family back on point, sharing your vision, and I'm glad to be able to think. I don't know for sure, but to be able to think that our general audience across the globe, I'm talking about Canada, Netherlands, Sudan, United Kingdom, and the United States, that's where we banging it out at, right? So I'm pleased to be able to hopefully report that we're reaching those audiences. I wish somebody from one of those countries would call in just to let me know. I wonder if we can get that done. Right quick, somebody call in. But then again, who's letting you guys in? Tim? Hey, Tim. Lord have mercy. Hey, so dig, until Tim comes and starts coordinating so we can get started, because we got some things to discuss, right? I got a couple of questions I want to ask our general panel. And I think it's a pertinent question to ask. And then the second part is just, in response to the first question. But I was thinking about this joke. I want to tell y'all a joke and see what you can associate it with. Hello? Who is that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Maria, this is Larry. Okay. Good morning.
Larry? Hey, Larry.
Yeah.
How y'all getting in?
Oh, I've been in from the beginning, like Mark said.
Oh man! So you heard my five apologies, huh?
Oh yes, sir. Yeah. And
well, I hope that's
about
enough
Mark,
for
Mark,
you.
Mark's a good man. He ain't hurt nobody.
No, I know. Hey. Yeah, I know. Hey.
I got
you. Not me, because I got a force field. Nobody can't pull up on me too easy. I'm on automatic pilot. But, hey, I got a joke for y'all guys. I was thinking about this joke. Private Jet is taking three very, very highly regarded people to an award show, right? We got the clergyman of the year, a reverend. We have the nuclear physicist who's made all kinds of discoveries and done a lot of things for the world. And then we have the Boy Scout of the year. These three passengers in a private jet flying to a destination for an award show. While on route, the captain or the pilot recognizes that one of the engines has gone out in the plane. And not only did he recognize that, but he remembered that there's only three parachutes. So he puts the plane on automatic pilot, knowing that eventually it's going to descend and crash. And he comes back to the three passengers, and he doesn't even, he just tells them what's going on. And says, look, we're the plane is destined to crash.
I still got mine set up on Amazon, though.
Larry.
To get ready to buy me one.
Hey, Larry.
Yeah, but I asked my wife if she wanted one, but she's scared of bikes.
Larry.
Mute yourself, we hear you.
Yes.
Mute, please. So, Alec comes out to the body, to the three people, and he says, all right, guys, I got to tell you, the plane is going to crash. It's on automatic pilot now, and it's going to crash. And one of the engines has failed. It's inevitable that it crashes. However, I have five children, and I have a wife that loves me, and I can't afford to let them down. So he takes one of the parachutes, and he jumps out the plane. The nuclear physicist stands up and says, look, I've made creations all across the globe. He says, I've made things, made life better for other people, and my brain is coveted for creating things that makes things good for the world. So I'm going to have to save myself. So he takes a parachute and jumps out the plane. The pastor looks at the Boy Scout and says, he said, I've lived a good life. I trust God. He said, I have no fear. He said, I want you to take the last parachute. And the Boy Scout said, sir, I appreciate you. That was honorable. You moved me, and I like the way that you decided you were going to let me be saved. He said, but don't worry. He said, the smartest man in the world just jumped out the plane with my backpack.
Wow.
So take from that what you please. You know, hey, we could be too smart for our own good sometime, I guess, huh? Somebody got it.
Yeah.
Okay,
good,
so
bro.
So listen. I have a question. It's a two-part question. The first question is, what does someone have to do to earn your trust?
What?
Deep question, huh?
Yeah, a big question.
Very deep question.
Yeah, but
They have to rebuild the trust. They have to rebuild the trust now because they done did to break the trust.
No. I mean, from you meet someone. You have no history.
Yeah.
So you have a chemistry where you feel like you want to be in a circle with this person, or you want to involve yourself some way with this person, or you feel like there's something you guys can get together and do, right? Yes, trust is a very important factor in proceeding in the relationship. What would be necessary for one to do to make you feel comfortable enough to trust them?
Mm. Well,
hey,
mean what you say and continue to work with your actions. So if you say you're going to do
something,
stand on that word. Stay dedicated and continue to help others. But standing on your word. Don't say you're going to do something and don't do it.
We're just looking for honesty to trust somebody. You got to just be honest. I yield.
Yes.
Honesty. So we're looking for consistency with your word. We're looking for honesty. Anybody got another? So hey, was that Tim? Was that you that called in, though? I thought
yes,
I heard
sir.
Tim
I'm
say
just,
something.
Yes, sir. I'm just now leaving Channel 31 with the phenom 10-year-old Boss Tootie. I just want to let y'all know that Boss Tootie has been signed on at Cal Expo for the Crawdad Fest in June 16th. She also will be at the Juneteenth in Berkeley on June 15th. And so this young lady showed out on the news this morning, man, and a lot of people asked her for an autograph, and she cried. That's the type of youth that we're bringing to the table. When we come to the table, we bring in our young folks who are qualified, bona fide, and edified to be where they at, and that's at the top. I'll yield.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Very important.
Yeah.
Marvell, are you there?
Oh, Mama
Marvell?
Said I put myself. Yeah, I'm here. I'm muted myself, man.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So good morning to you, sir. I'm sorry. I was on stage. They needed to interview me as well. I was watching the phone, and right at 9 o'clock, that's when they pulled us out the green room and walked me to the stage and then into the recording area. And so I apologize to all of our listening audience. I apologize to our panel. I apologize. And then you ask, what does one have to do to gain my trust or me to gain their trust? It's just like you and me, Marvell. I met you over a bowl of mush. And all I did was stay consistent with being around you, finding out who you are, finding out our qualities, finding out your dislikes, just finding out more about you got me to understand that, you know, I can trust you. So me watching you and the way you are at all times helped me trust you. For others, the same thing. I pay attention to what you do, how you do, what you say, how you say, all that comes into play of how one can gain trust from another. A lot of times we get fooled, too. There's a lot of people that's cunning that want you to let your guards down, and then you see the real them. One thing I know, and two things for sure, I have let my guards down, and I've seen the same person I met, the same person I like, the same person I follow, the same person I lead, the same person I communicate with. That's how I get honesty. I really pour into the relationship to build each other's confidence and trust in each other. It's just not a one-way street. It's a two-way street, and I'll pass the mic.
Yeah.
Right on. Yes. Come on, somebody else. Come on now.
Well, he hit it right on the nail. So I don't have much to see. He cleared it up. Yeah, he cleared it up.
So So what? Okay, I'll tell you what I tell you what I'm learning, and that is that there's a screening process that's probably a good idea. When you meet someone, you know, and you feel like you want to be in league with them, then there's a screening process that might you might do well to enact, right, and observe. Because, see, people can get in our personal circle because we're warm and you know, like we can be warm naturally. We've been warm naturally, but we've been, I would dare to say, disappointed so much that we've become very guarded, right? And whoever comes in our circle, they might be under suspicion until otherwise proven. So it's not even unfair for you to be suspicious to a degree enough to do your screening to determine what you can anticipate from someone and what you might be asking too much from someone, right? And that's a very important thing because I don't want to – I know when I initiate my trust towards someone, I may be able to trust them in an area, but I may be a little wary in another area. But that comes from screening. But that way, I don't put a strain on a relationship by asking them or anticipating they're going to do something that they're not willing or capable of doing, and then I'm the one got air in my jaws thinking that they let me down. So the trust factor, and then the reason why I'm talking about trust in the first place is because trust is one of those elements that is so essential for our group to have as a body to go forth, right? So now I don't think we're in that realm where we need one personality, one charismatic, outspoken, well-spoken, anointed personality to lead us everywhere we go. We're all individuals now. We can make decisions and we can contribute just as much as the leader can, right? We have something just as much necessary to the movement as the leader does. It's just that now we have to trust each other, not the leader, right? The trust can't be devoted to just the leader. The trust has to be in the body. And so we have to get to know each other. So we're getting – see, on this program, we're getting to know each other. See, I'm getting phone calls, and I'm making phone calls, and I'm just calling and saying, hey, man, I'm just hollering at you. You know, how you doing? That's how I'm getting with the people that are constant on this network. I'm getting more comfortable with finding out where we can go together and where I don't want to take you – you know, out of your realm and confuse or complicate our relationship by assuming just because we cool that there's certain things you're going to automatically do. So I want to be able to trust in what it is that you're comfortable doing and capable of doing, and then we can develop trust on an interpersonal level, right? Because that's the one thing that I think, not the only, but one of the major things that I think we struggle with as we go forward as a body, as a group, is this, you know, trying to find the trust, you know, the medium is trust. And so that's why I ask. And now then the second part of the question is, what do you do to make yourself trustworthy? And probably the answer to that question is in the answer to the other question, but I'd like to hear if someone has something in addition that they like to add to their trustworthiness, because, you know, if one is one anticipating trust from someone, then it's probably necessary for them to demonstrate what it looks like in order for them to get what they're seeking.
Yeah.
Right. So if you focus on being honest, you will be honest. You know what I mean? If you focus on being honest and trustworthy, you will be trustworthy. I have something to say to that because years ago, about a good 20 years ago, I was maybe 30 years ago, I went to truck driving school. And like you said, okay, and there was a group of guys coming from different states, okay? And so we all had to, you know, sleep in this motel. So we all had rooms and stuff like that. But during the day, you know, we're taking these, our training, you know, for big rigs and all that. Okay, I'm way out in the middle of nowhere. And so in that little group, you know, we like you said, we build up our trust among each other. We start building up our trust among each other. And then one of the brothers allowed me to use his car to go about 45 miles out a different way. I didn't know him from a can of paint. But he trusts me. And we build up our trust, you know, as we was training. And so he trusts me with his car, and he trusts me to bring it back. And I brought it back intact just the way he gave it to me. And so that was trust. You know what I mean? And I highly appreciate that today, wherever he's at. You know what I mean? But like I said, building up trust and being honest.
Yes.
You know what I mean? He trusts me with it, and I brought it back. You know, honest, trustworthy.
Yeah.
It goes
that's
a long
a good
way.
Story
so
for this.
Build up that confidence, and you ride on that confidence, you will have that confidence. See, God said, think not. So we always think great and do things great and treat people right. Yeah. It will seek in you. You will carry it with you.
Yeah. You won't be.
Yeah. So that's my version on that.
That's well put. I appreciate that. Now, let me share something to you. Let me tell you how trust is so vibrant in our community and why it is a challenge. Because, you know, the con is a trust-centered, con somebody. It's called confidence. It's called a confidence game. But they shorted it to the con just, you know, to keep shade on the fact that the person that playing it builds your confidence by garnering your trust and saying the things that helps strengthen your trust in them so they can bilk you. And that's a design. They're deliberately doing that, right? And so that thing, that's one of the phobias, one of the concerns that exists in our group is that when someone comes in and they appear to be more than usual or they appear to be charming, witty, charismatic, and willing, then either we pour in automatically or we stand back and watch because it's like, oh, man, dude, you know, I'm watching you. And that's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing to do that screening because the con is something that a lot of people in our culture, I mean, not even just our group, the con is working kind of like on a regular basis, right? It's just that in our group, when we practice it within our group, the pain is far more greater because the disappointment is far more intense, right? So I guess the moral to it is that we do well to screen and have our own little method of determining not only can I trust someone, but how much is it fair for me to trust you, and where is it fair for me to trust you in? And that's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. Because, again, trust is one of those elements that is going seemingly essential for us to have where we got each other's back. I don't have to be your buddy to have your back. I just have to have the vision that in order for us to go forth, we're going to have to support each other and trust each other because we have this goal that we're seeking to reach together.
Yeah.
So the trust factor, I mean, I just want you, we don't have to stay on it, but I really would like for everyone to give some close consideration to who they trust and why. And if you're trustworthy, or if you think that you can tighten up your trustworthiness by being a little bit more of this and a little less than that, then I would suggest we give that some close consideration, because that element, trust, is one of the things that makes it easy for us to work together.
Yeah.
And I'll yield with that.
Well, let me. Well, good morning. This is Big V. I'm on the phone with you. Yeah, Big V. Good morning. God bless you, brother. Listen to this. See these two brothers, other brothers that called in the conference call, Brother Paul Williams and Ken Neal. Listen to me. We in a struggle together, and we trust each other to get this victory that's why we on this radio station, because we've been trusting each other for the last, what, a year or so, but we've been knowing each other for the last 20, 25 years. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But we trust each other because we know we're finna get this victory about the struggle that we're going through.
Even if getting through that struggle, we know we would have to reach out and help others. We're going to do that anyway, because if we're built like that, it ain't all about us or what we need. We also care about our people. We want our people to do well. We'll volunteer. We'll put the time in and do what's needed to help them move forward. So it ain't just all about particular cause.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right, and out of all the people that's involved with the Longshore Movement, we know we can count on each other, us three.
Yeah, so we know we have three people that we would have to still be questionable and still have questions about, but still we have faith in God, and whoever's not there to help or are seeking bad things or anything of that nature that's negative, we expect that. So we're not learning.
Al Sharpton's colleague, Troy, and Stacy, Sister Stacy, they might be on the line as well pretty soon, 411. But, you know, like you said, that's a big, powerful word. And that's what it's about, building up trust.
Yes. So we understand that well. And just like you say,
well,
it's not about all.
To have trust in someone, it covers a multitude of different areas. Society has broken us up and implemented certain things in our mindset to where it's hard to trust people totally. Now, you might be able to trust somebody doing something for you, but you can't trust them in other areas. So you really have to take a good look at certain things, situations, because you can't afford to put your trust out there on a limb and you turn around and they done did something shiesty or something like that. That's why I say it's kind of hard to trust people nowadays. But what I do is I look for the need and not the fault. And that helps me go through life, because I look to help people. So that way a person might think they're getting over on me, but they're not. This is my heart. I'm kind and I refuse to allow other people to cause me to be like them. So
there
I'm
you
gonna
go.
Continue to be
there
them.
It is.
I'm gonna continue
not gonna
to
be like
help
that.
Because I am a help me. I'm that's what God created me to do. Put myself out for it to be used. But if they want to take advantage of it, that's on them. But once I see that they're benefiting from it and not reciprocating that same, you know, trustworthiness, I can no longer do it. So, in other words, I begin to trust people as soon as I meet them, until I can't.
I digress. There you go, boy.
Yeah. And how far can you get when you think you're getting over on somebody when God is already, you know, he already knows what you're doing. You're not going to get anywhere. You're not winning. So
that's the thing. A heartless person don't know that. Their conscience have been seared. See, so there are certain attributes that we look forward that we can see. Because once God give you a discerning spirit, oh, it's there. You can't help but to recognize the wrongdoings right off the bat. And they think they're getting over. And all I'm, like me, myself, all I'm trying to do is help them see themselves so that they can no longer do the damage that they're doing to themselves. Because
that's great. That's great.
You can tear down a large committee just with one false move. And I've watched it happen over and over again.
Yeah. So, I that is true. That is a true statement.
I have a report to make, and I regret to have to make it, but I think it's right along the lines of what we're talking about now. We have in our healing circle, we have all men from all different spectrums of life coming in and participating in our healing circle. And several months ago, we had one young man come in. Still, he got his pants hanging off, and he's wearing the chains, and he's got tattoos everywhere, and he's kind of like in the world, right? But he's coming to our circle. When he first came in, we recognized that he was fresh back into the reentry process. So we do what we do. We all chipped in and put money on him, and he walked out of there with enough money to add some more money and bought himself a car. And then he was participating fairly regularly. Then I think he had some problems with the car, and then we didn't see him much more. And then when we started seeing him, he was coming at the end of the meeting. And when he comes at the end of the meeting, he was hitting people up for 20 here, 20 there, 30 here, right? Hitting with several individuals, right? And he was doing this regularly. Then he came in a couple of weeks ago, and he came with a convincing presentation about what he was going to do with himself as far as his lifestyle, his drug usage, and all of these things, right? So he came in, and it was very convincing to us. And so the same individual that I'm going to share, you guys, he told me to give you your number, and I've got the number, and I'm going to send it to you guys in Oakland. Our buddy Dale, the attorney, I'm going to send that information to you. I asked y'all to give me a call yesterday to remind me, but nonetheless, we're going to make sure we tie you in with this brother, because I talked to him yesterday, and he said, yeah, just have him give me a call. Anyway, this same brother, this attorney, helped this young man to get himself straightened out with his probation officer, parole officer, and get him so he can get to a Social Security, get himself Social Security so that he'll be eligible for a drug program. And just so happened that he was unable to take him to the appointment, so I agreed to come and take him to the appointment. He didn't show up. He didn't call. He didn't respond to any call. The next day, we saw pictures of him in the hospital. He had been pistol whipped. And the next day after that is when it occurred. And all I'm saying is, what y'all saying is that when you misrepresent and you abuse trust, it just doesn't seem to be much future in it.
Mm-hmm. No.
He misrepresented our trust.
Nope.
You know the thing about that, Mardell. See, this is what a lot of people got to understand. We don't have to stop doing what we're doing. And we're not going to stop doing what we're doing because of one individual's fault. See, no one's deeds go unwanted. No one's. Mm-hmm. So if your deeds are bad, you're going to get your dessert. You're going to get just what you reap, but you're going to reap what you sow. And
right,
so God has a way tending to his sheep. So if you want to wander off and dilly-dally and try to fool God's people, God going to get you for it. The books say touch not my anointing. You know, there's a lot of different things that God is operating in our lives on a daily basis. A lot of us just don't recognize it, or we refuse to recognize it due to society. Like I say, society has put us in a bag to where we've been tricked all our lives by them, by the system. So the system has created a distrust where we don't trust each other no more. It's hard for us to trust each other. No other races have that problem but us. See, so we are the benefactors of BS. We've been bullshitted all our lives, and so we think everybody's out to bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, you can't bullshit the bullshitter.
No.
But you don't recognize it until you start to smell your own.
Right.
I digress.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's it.
So as we shake down this subject of trust, we're finding that it has tentacles, right? And it extends into a whole bunch of areas in our lives and in our experience. And see, we are, and I said this, and I hope if you haven't seen the podcast, I did a podcast. I did a podcast day before yesterday talking about reparations. And one of the revelations that occurred with me, and revelations to me come from God to me, to be ushered through me, right? And one of the revelations was that there are groups of people who are rooted in the idea that we are only 60% human, 3/5 human, and they conduct themselves as such, right? And
right.
So the trauma that we've experienced as a result of that treatment, and then you know how I talk about, you talk about the low hanging fruit, right? It's like whatever frustrations you have, because I remember D.L. Hughley said this. He said you talk about black on black crime. Well, people commit crimes within the realm of the people that they're around all the time, right? So you don't hear people saying white on white crime while they shooting and killing each other, while they milking each other and doing all kinds of stuff to each other, right? You don't hear that as white on white crime, but we have black on black crime, and it puts a lot of emphasis on the fact that we are angry, resentful, apprehensive, all of these adjectives that describe a group of people who are in need of treatment, right? But we got to subscribe to and not depend on anybody else. Like my brother and my partner say, we are our own best medicine, right? So we have to get ourselves lined up to recognize that we're not going to be able to depend on anyone else for our healing. And our healing comes from when we work together, trust each other, and know that the Spirit of God will be dead center in everything we do from there. So this trust thing is just so widespread, and it creates division when there isn't any, or when there's some questionable behaviors that make you like, you know, reaching and pulling your hand back. I ain't gonna do that. You know, and that's one of the things that we're responsible to expel. We're responsible. We can't wait around and hope that it happens. We have to be deliberate about learning how to garner trust, how to be trustworthy, and how to keep trust in our body at all times. And I'll yield with that. Was that a drop the mic thing?
But that's exactly, yeah, that's very important. That's how it goes. Yeah.
Yeah, that was powerful.
Oh, yeah.
So, Brother Marvell, I'm back in the car, I'm back in the pole, and I appreciate you holding it down, man. you have a lot of insight on a lot of areas, and I want you to know that it's guys like you that push the needle, man, that push the needle. See, you listen to hear. You don't listen to respond and react. You listen to hear and then rationalize what has been said. Hello?
Yeah. Hello?
Okay, so, yeah, I just wanted to give you that because if we don't uplift each other, encourage each other, and inspire each other, who will? And when
That's
will
correct.
They? So my thing is when I'm on here and I hear you giving to the masses the knowledge that you have, the information that you have, and the love that you have, I just got to applaud you because it's not easy in this life that we live because life be lifing. Let me say that again. Life be lifing. And if you get caught up in any area and not able to express yourself to clear some of your thoughts, it can damage your next move or your next step. And so we appreciate you, Marvell. I'm going to let you know we appreciate you. You know, you can hold a whole 2-hour session on this radio without any of us coming on because you got that push. You got that voice that, you know, people, when they hear it, they know who they're hearing from. And when they hear it, they know you sincere about the words that are coming out of your mouth. I pass the mic.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, well, man.
You got the wherewithal.
The look. The work. Hey, for those who are not aware, early on, I made a commitment to attempt to redress some of the words I use and how I express myself because I'm a writer. And I'm one of those writers that I talk the way I write, right? So I used the term wherewithal one time, and it's been a staple since then because wherewithal means the ability to, right? Having all of the elements and the ability to do something. And so when I hear wherewithal, I don't associate it with me. I associate it with us. It's just kind of like a running thing, but when I hear it that we have the wherewithal to do everything that's needed to be done to not only make us great in this country, but to make this country great for real. Right?
Yeah.
We've been doing it all the time. Look, I'm going to tell you something. I did some research about the Olympics, right? And They had gold. They were doing some gold. But when we got involved in it, the gold accomplishments jumped up a whole third, right? So we're responsible for one third of the gold medals that this country gets every time they have an Olympics, for the exception of winter. They got to go for themselves on that because we don't do too well in the night. But and then they got some hockey players that's breaking ground. Some of our brothers breaking ground on the hockey field, right? But generally speaking, Summer Olympics, all those Olympics, we have excelled this country's gold medal. I ain't talking about silver, bronze, gold medal awards, one third greater, right? And we are a minority in their competition count, right? We're not that great. We're 13% of the participants, but we increase their medal awards up to 33%, right? More. So we're still doing it. We have demonstrated everything that's necessary for us to stop and look and recognize that we need not be shy or reserved about what we do for this place. All we're saying is we recognize and we want you to do the same. And then, see, Tim talked about the apology the other day. Let me share some of my perspective about the apology. See, the apology is the acknowledgement that we are 5/5, not 3. That's what the apology would be saying. We okay, we get humble. We've been trying to work the hand like y'all 60% human. And we've been conducting ourselves like we have dominion over you. Every time something comes up, we want you to, we have to prove ourselves innocent, right? Everyone else is innocent until proven guilty. We have to prove ourselves innocent, right? And we've been experiencing that in a whole bunch of realms. But now the apology would be a certification that you have gotten humble to recognize that we are 5/5 human and sometimes 5.5% human, right? Because sometimes we do stuff that nobody else can do.
That's
Try
correct.
It if you want to. Try it if you want to.
And pardon me, you guys, we also make the hockey chuck and stick. We invented that.
What'd you say?
We invented the hockey stick and chuck. Yes.
Oh,
Google
man,
that.
Cut it out.
Google that.
That is, I don't, you know what? I think I have that on my list because I have a list of about 72 inventions that I carry around in my car, and I introduce it to youth that we work with periodically. You know, I try to be smooth about it. I don't try to make it like I'm putting the weight on them to remember stuff. I just matter-of-factly mention stuff, but I keep that with me. I think I saw that.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know about the hockey stick, but the hockey puck,
yeah.
I remember seeing that. Ain't that something?
Yes.
Ain't that something? We set it up, they knock it down.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about knock it down. I'm talking about they, we set up the bowling alley, right? And provide all the facilities and then they get the strikes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they get the strikes
now,
and the score, right?
Now it's supposed to be a museum they're supposed to be making permanent in Redwood City that has a lot of our inventions in there of the things that we invented that we use daily that a lot of our people don't even know about it. And one of them is, remember that doorknob you opened that was invented by us?
Yeah.
And when you open the door, the light switch you turn on?
Yeah.
The suitcase, the luggage, the washing machine, the dryer. There's so many things that we're using that we invented that our people don't
Man.
Even know.
Don't even know.
Air conditioning.
Who would we be expected to tell us?
It'll have to come from us. That's why we need these museums. We have to visit those museums. And I think they're trying to make a permanent location in Redwood City across from the post office, Redwood City, California. Because a young black man asked his mom, why are we here? Did we invent anything? And now she tracked down everything and they... Now we're starting to see our inventions.
May I? Is that Ken? Ken, is that you?
Yes.
Okay. Somebody is washing clothes or something, doing something in the background, and it's a distortion. Please mute your mic. You're still going on, so please mute your mic. If you have a suspicion that it could be you, please mute your mic. Thank you very much. Okay, Ken.
Yes, I was just saying that it's possibly going to be a permanent location for a museum that has our inventions, and it shows all the inventions that we invented that we're still using today. besides the stoplight and the walkie-talkie, there's a lot of things. So, but it's up to us to challenge the young folks and let them know there are things that you invented that are still being used that you should know about, and you have that creative mind, and we want you to continue to create and be focused on your goals going the other way or putting yourself in jeopardy, because we don't want you in jeopardy. So, yeah,
you see how,
so that's,
you see
that's
how,
my little piece.
Yes, sir. No, I didn't mean to interrupt. I thought you would. Okay, so I just want to let's revamp, because I want you to see how when we say trust, we can talk about trust in individuals, trust in groups, but we're talking about trust in our lineage and our DNA, right?
Yes.
We can develop. See, that's going to help us develop the trust in our DNA, because remember, trust and confidence they sleep in the same room, in the same house, right? So
yes,
when we have the confidence of our ability to not only revisit and remember what we have done, but to be present and current with what we will do, then that's when the trust manifests itself at the strongest level. No matter if I care or care about you personally, that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. Because that's what I'm working through right now, you know, where I get around someone that I don't particularly care for, or they may have done something that I feel was not of high integrity. However, if they have a skill and a willingness to pour into the body what's needed in that body to nourish that body, I'm gonna get beyond that, whatever that is. I'm working to get beyond that and going to them and say, man, yeah, I understand you do this, and I'll keep it curt and I'll keep it real, you know, real businesslike, and not appear to be come with some con like I'm trying to persuade them using some charisma or some con. Just come to them straight and say, I understand you do this, and you know, I know, you know, we may have had some challenges in the past, but your ability to do this is greater than any challenge that we've had. And I wonder you consider participating in what you do to help us do what we're attempting to do. So that trusting is not just trusting in a personality. That trusting is principle. And I'll yield with that.
Yes. Oh. That's it. I agree. Yep.
So Double R, you got any reports on any new reports on the reparations?
Hey, Double R in the Corner, man, I'm feeding my face right now, but no, I gave y'all everything yesterday. We still need to celebrate that, and we have to mark it every time something comes out for this SB, what is it, 1305, whatever it is. We have to support it. I yield.
Oh.
Right on. Okay,
is that it, or?
Go ahead.
So you said it's SB 1403? Is that what it is?
That's what passed yesterday. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's what passed yesterday. Right, right.
Okay.
I'll do some research and find out what's the next bill that's on the agenda to push forward, and so we can start, you know, doing a little bit more diligence in our involvement. You know, do a little something, check it out, do a little something. If something come up to say, fill out a survey, then hopefully we can get that done. If something say, come and see, if it's in your vicinity, come and see, or come to attend a meeting to discuss it, cool. If something like the other day, we did the podcast, it's called Reparations Conversation, right?
Yeah.
And you know, we delved into, you know, to what some of the elements, and I gave my theory about the three-fifths, because I don't know if anyone else subscribes, but I haven't heard very many people respond to that analysis. But it's really clear to me, because I see how there's a group of people who practice dominion over another group of people, which is us. Well, we're doing something. They don't hesitate. I remember I used to go in the, see, I used to be what they call a creek thief, right? I was so down that I'd go in an open business while it's open, and I'll find my way into their office, and I'll find their money, and I'll open their safe if need be, and creep up out of there with their money, right? That's what I did. And I used to go into these establishments, go into a store, right? And when I walk into the store, I'll have a stock boy that was just stacking stuff on the shelf. Stop and say, "Can I help you?" And I said, "No, man, you the one need some help. Get the stocking. Get out of my face. What you going to do to help me? You a stock boy." But they feel like they have the right to pull up on us with any questions they have, with an anticipation that we're supposed to answer all of their questions. And then Money Grip showed me how in California you used to have this piece of paper identifying your freedom. And if you didn't have it, they put you in custody waiting for you to be shipped back. Right? So you had to have this piece of paper identifying yourself as a free slave. And anybody could walk up to you and ask you for that piece of paper. So that, to me, really identifies how one group of people are really, really locked in the idea that they have dominion over us. And that's we're going to dispel. They don't have dominion over us. That's what we're going to dispel. There's no dominion. That's why it's so important for us to get behind this reparations momentum. Is because aside from everybody else, you hear people talking about, I want my check, I want my cash, I want this, I want that. However, that might be good to aspire to. There it is again. Folks, could you mute your phone if you're not speaking, please? And we're trying to get to this, to that level of professionalism where we can broadcast anywhere and not get any raise any eyebrows. So we're just going to keep practicing, making sure that if we have any distortions or potential distortions in the background, that we mute our phones automatically. I even mute my phone, and then when it goes dark, I don't know it's on mute because it's dark. Because every now and then, you know, every about 10 seconds, 20 seconds, the phone will go black, and then I have to touch it and see if I'm on mute or not. But it's kind of important for us to recognize and do that housekeeping so that we can keep our broadcast as crisp and as professional as we can. So, you know, just be a mindful and work on it. That's all we can ask you to do. Because somebody is just oblivious to everything that I'm saying right now. Somebody's riding down the street in a car or something, because they're coming in a hot rod, too.
They just don't know the mutual stuff.
That's all right. We'll be more deliberate in our announcement in the beginning, right? And make sure that everybody understands how important it is. Because, somebody's on the road or somebody's at the racetrack or something. Wow. So, again, I'm going to reiterate how important it is for us to recognize that it's not just about the check. Is that you, Sherman? Hey, coming. Somebody doing a sound check. Y'all making a movie or something? That's not
sound like
they're
at the airport. Sound like they're at the airport.
The Montour Movement Brothers are here.
Right on. So hopefully everyone there recognizes that the background sounds are distortions and they can mute their phone when they're not on the air. If we can get that done and get that understood from henceforth, that's going to make us more powerful as we present ourselves to our listening body. Again, we're in the United States, Canada, and we're overseas. And so distortions don't do well to keep our audience or expand our audience. So please do that housekeeping from this point on, ladies and gentlemen. And so I think I was kind of overcalled with the sound to say, and I'll keep on emphasizing that one of the major reasons for us to push and get behind this movement for reparations is not only the check, not only the equity, not only the potential for us not to pay taxes anymore. That's one of the things that we're considering too. It's a whole lot of things in these bills. But the major thing, I think, is for the government and for everyone who is in a position to influence government to stop, get humble, and recognize our humanity and that there is no dominion over us anymore. There's no, you don't make our, you're not responsible for making our next decision. We're responsible for that. We're making it now. We've made a decision now, and we want to continue to make decisions that are best for our group, which in turn will be best for you and this country. We've been doing it. So this is the implant that I keep on watering, is that this apology that my brother, my partner talks about, that apology is really an acknowledgement of our humanity. It's like, okay, well, we know we've been treating y'all like less than, and we apologize for doing that because we knew the truth all the time. We knew that you weren't, but as long as we can keep you convinced that you weren't, we can draw from your research source and we can control what happens next, even after we are using up all of your natural resources and your skills, your art, your ability. We've used that. But now since you've made it clear that you know that we've been doing it, we apologize for what we've done to you. We apologize. It's not really just an apology. It's an acknowledgement. It's like, okay, y'all say the jig is up, and y'all proving that the jig is up. We got to accept that the jig is up. Now let's see what we can do to work together and just trust and hope that after you guys get your footing and you guys stand in the gap for what it is that you do well, that you'll still work with us. And the truth is, we will. We live in America. We're Africans. We're American-born Africans. We live in America. And we've been American, more American than some of you so-called shuck-ass patriots claim to be. We've been the patriots in this country.
That's correct.
And that's what we're saying. The patriots.
Well, furthermore, let me add that. Let me add to that as far as that apology. America is holding away from the apology because once they apologize, they have to have action on paying us. So the small thing that somebody said the other day, we need more than just an apology. That's the first step. Once they apologized to the Tuskegee Institute experiment, Clinton had to kick out that money. So y'all understand this. We need this apology, not from just the states, but from the government. After that, then we can have everything rolling, and I yield. Please mute your mic, man. If you ain't talking, all this we don't want to hear that. Mute your mic until you're ready to talk. I yield.
Yeah, because again, let's look at how we're our presentation. We have a very vibrant and very informative format here, right? And all we want to do is make sure that when somebody listens in, they don't have any excuse not to listen to us, right? We want the gravity to listen to us to be more powerful than any excuse not to. So let's do our housekeeping and make sure that we respect the floor, make sure we don't overcall each other, and make sure that we're muted when we're not speaking in the event that something might come up. Because I'm sitting in my car. I'm going to tell you something. Right now I'm sweating. I'm smoldering because it's a real nice day. And then when somebody else is talking, I put it on mute and roll my windows down. But it's so nice out there that I ain't getting no breeze. So I'm sitting in my car sweating in a robe right now. But this is a sacrifice I'm willing to make sure that we do a professional presentation and that we be flawless like we've been in everything else we do. Let's work toward the flawlessness in this as we do in our basketball playing, baseball, football, any ball. Give us a ball and you see excellence, right? Give us a pen and a pencil and give us some colors and we'll show you excellence, right? Give us an opportunity to get on the floor and express our ability to sing or express our ability to dance or express our ability to show talent, and we show excellence. So let's hone that in to what we're doing right now. Let's work toward the excellence that we're akin to and typical of delivering so that anybody listening to us will have to pay it and not have any excuses. And I hope that's a fair request. And I'll yield. Was that another drop the mic thing?
No, hey, I appreciate everybody got that message, man. It was clear. Was it no background? And let's keep it up, fellas. I know you got some new guys on here, but unless you're going to speak, keep that mic muted, okay? We don't need no amens. We just need to keep muted because when you say amen, somebody's going to stop talking and thinking that you're ready to talk. So unmute when you're ready to take the floor and talk. I yield.
And when done so, you will be awarded the floor. That's my job. If you have something to say, I'm going to make sure because everything that anyone on this format has to say is important to us. Anything. Oh, except for the Bojacks that call in and start heckling, you know, that we have that. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that, but we have people calling in and they sound like they could be of African descent by the sound of their voice. But by the time they get through, we think they're just zings. That have nothing else to do but attempt to undermine something. And it really is a testimony to the power, because if we didn't have a momentum, if we didn't have people paying attention, then they wouldn't pay no attention to us. So that's sort of like a plus, but at the same time, we're getting a read on them early, and we're shutting them down smoothly, and hopefully they'll see that they're not going to get the reaction they anticipate, the typical anger-ridden reaction and the screaming and hollering and cussing and calling names and, you know, and judgment over your behavior kind of thing. We're moving away from that. We're in a learning process. We're learning how to work together. We're learning how to trust each other. We're learning how to stay focused on our objective and our vision and not allow anything to pull us to the left or to the right any more than like a pit stop in a race, in a car race. We'll stop to change the tires. But then when the tires are changed, we're going to change them as quick as possible, and we're getting back on the road because we're going towards the finish line on this. So we're not going to be pulled to the left or to the right any more than for a pit stop when these folks call in. But generally speaking, everybody that calls in here that stays regular, These are the people who have the vision, and we're planting the seed for anyone listening to enhance their ability to see the vision, to see in your mind's eye what we are proposing through our presentation, is that we're on the verge, we're on the brink, we're on the turn, and recognize that and do what you are able to do in your comfort zone to make sure that their momentum continues. They ain't really asking for much. I'm going to tell you something I'm getting ready to do. I have a sister. She is brilliant. I mean, I ain't trying to be funny, but I come from my siblings. They are extraordinary. I have a sister that when I call her up and say, I want something done, she does it. And she does it with excellence. So I'm going to have her create banners. I'm going to give her the wording, and she's going to create banners. And then she's going to send them to me, and I'll pick them up at Walgreens. And then we're going to go out, and we're going to distribute literature and post banners and all that stuff, the visual aspect of this reparation. So we're doing it verbally on this network, and we're going to do it physically, and we're going to keep on raising the consciousness about the importance of at least knowing what this is and making a decision about what you're going to do. Some people are going to decide,
y'all got it going on. You know, I'll wait on my check.
Some people are going to do that, right? But we want the majority of the people who know how ethics work, you know, this free thing and something-for-nothing thing that we even bought into, it's a fallacy. Do some work and feel good about the result if you do some of the work. You can sit back and receive something to the benefit of somebody else's work if you want to and think you're going to feel good about it, but you're going to be the one of the ones that's buying big Gucci belts and big tires on your car, riding down the street, looking goofy when everybody else is investing and taking their bounty and trying to perpetuate our growth in this country and our stability in this country by investing in things that are going to give you a return rather than something you buy, and once you buy it, you try to take it back 2 days later. If you ain't got a receipt, they'll offer you half of what you paid for it to buy it back. But this is the theme here. This is the theme here. Trust in each other. We have to, when I say have to, I ain't that one. I don't have the power to say what you have to do. And I'll catch myself about that. But I'll dare to say that it is upon us to consider developing the type of trust that makes it easy for us to see each other coming and not have suspicion about what you're up to, but not have envy about what you got that I ain't got, or not having a hair in my jaws about something you said that I didn't have the courage to address you about. I'm walking around carrying it, and I didn't say nothing to you about it. These are the little details that are important, I think, for us to learn how to identify and address so that we can get to that ease of trust, because believe it or not, we have far more in common, far more experiences in common than we have anything different. And that's the truth. And I'll yield with that truth. Just to drop the mic.
Hey,
okay.
Hey, you guys.
Go ahead, bro.
Hey, you guys. This is Big V. Off the record, can I ask you guys a question? And this is pertaining to, can I ask you guys a question?
Please do.
Okay, and this is pertaining to our longshore movement. Now, the other day, a couple of days ago, we was discussing this, we was putting out some information, right? And the question I want to ask is, you know, since we can never find representation, you know, I'm hearing that this is a worldwide network. you know, you got all these different colleges, right? And with all this education and stuff like that, isn't there a coalition of black lawyers down south, or you know, like the HBCU colleges and stuff like that? Isn't there a coalition of lawyers, black lawyers, that we can get to come to our aid? Because what's going on is we are being undermined by the feds. Because remember the other day I said, who investigates the feds? Remember I said that to you guys?
Yeah.
Who investigates the feds? So it's got to be a coalition of black lawyers that heard our plight and can come to our aid to get, you know, because these claims are legit. They're so legit. I mean, like I said, my story made the national news for 3 days. And you mean to tell me you want to offer me peanuts and that have been a person of a different color? They would have tried to break the bank. You know what I mean? So that's the only question I'm asking real quick.
Well, if I might be gifted to respond, I would say it seems like it would be. It seems like that's sort of like a Google research kind of thing, right? To find out what, you know, and especially the HBCUs,
right?
That would be a good pursuit for some of those young interns or some of those law students to bite into and get their
feet
wet about not just civil rights but human rights, right?
Human.
So
right.
I would dare say, yeah, it seemed like that's a good thing to explore. Now, if you're asking us to do it, I'm not that. Okay. Well,
no,
then
no.
If the case is, do we think that exists? I think that even if it doesn't exist, we might even be able to speak it into existence.
That's right.
That's what
right.
I think.
I appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
That was just a question that I was trying to find out some information. That's all I was trying to do. You know what I mean? Because closed mouths
right
don't get fed.
You come here. You got to be. Hey, you back from the day. That, I ain't heard that one then. I used to hear that one all the time back when I was young.
Close mouths don't get fed.
That's right.
They don't get fed.
And go ahead.
That's right. We're supposed to speak in existence. You're right about that. Closed mouth don't get fed. And that's what we've been doing. And as you touched bases earlier regarding banners and flyers and whatnot and spread the word in the news about reparations, we've been putting our chips together, me, Vince, and Stacy, and Kenny, and McBee, and Big B, and you know what I mean, and a few others, and expanding this longshore movement, all this racketeering that's going on. And let me ask the question also regarding that. Regarding people not coming to our aid, what's going on with the media? And my point is, now we done reached out, oh my God, here on the West Coast, and from the government to the mayors, and we done sent documents, emailing, and Channel 254, CNN, matter of fact, I wanted to make sure that our message get heard, you know. So what I did was I sent a lot of emails to different other people that's regarding our longshore movement, and nobody's respond yet. Are they in the same clique? My goodness. I mean, what it takes. So they're waiting for us to, if we are committing the crime, we all on the news. Now, we're doing something good here, speaking up and speaking out. They don't want us to be heard. Can anybody rely on
this? Yeah, let me give you advice on that one, brother. Nowadays, you got this YouTube, Instagram,
all that. It don't take nothing for you to make something and put on there. You send it to us, blast it out, and, hey, that's how we can do it. And maybe the news will see it, somebody will see it, but get to that YouTube page or something like that. Just take that phone, man, the power of the phone. It ain't just for naked pictures and stuff, brother. You know what I'm saying? We can get on there, and you create that YouTube, and you send it. You come back on this station. Everybody send it to 10 people. They send it to 10 people, and we like it. And then that's how it's going. That's how it's going to get viral. You feel me? We put them on blast.
Oh.
Instagram,
right, right. So
Facebook.
Right.
Wait, let
yes,
me land
sir.
My plane, brother. Let me land my plane. I'm gonna let you speak. But you gotta understand that they don't want to hear you. They don't want to return your phone call because this. They just shut you down. First of all, you're black. You ain't got no connections. You ain't got no Johnny Cochran's or nobody. So they just think you're a little peon. But if we hit that YouTube on them and that media, that social media, we can get them. I yield. I land my plane.
Oh, yeah, Sherman here.
You right. I agree. Now we do have the videotapes. Matter of fact, we have a few clips on Facebook, YouTube. So and we'll start sending them to you.
Gentlemen, hold it. I just got alert that we have about 60 seconds left before the program ends, and I don't want anybody to get caught off midstream. What we can do tomorrow is pick up because I have some contributions to consider as well about why the media and how to deal with the media, and I think we can explore that. So I don't want anybody to get cut off in midstream. If someone has something they can say in the next 30 seconds, you can take the floor. If not, we'll probably do well to end this segment and pick up tomorrow.
Brother Sherman here. So try to call Benjamin Crump for your problem with that lawyer. Phone.
That's great.
Yes, sir.
I agree with that. And we had proposed that yesterday, and I hope we'll keep on planting and watering that seed for someone who has been standing in the gap for matters like this. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're getting ready to end this segment, but not our relationship. We'll see you or hear you tomorrow and see you when we can. Have a good day.
God bless you, brothers.
Yes, God bless. Thank you.
And blessings unto all.